With our special guest tonight, Dane Wigington, as we talk about geoengineering and much more than that, the climate change adjustment, playing around, tinkering, and all these other things, next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Dane Wigington with us. Dane, do you get any comments from pilots who dispute this, who simply say, because they're not in the know, this isn't going on?
Of course, and it's not just because they're not in the know. It's because they know it's a essential career decision for them to deny this issue. And I'm at the same time communicating with pilots that have reached out to me on this issue that are direly concerned, that are afraid to speak out for very obvious reasons. In fact, I've had two Gulfstream pilots reach me in the last 60 days. One's a former military. So they fly private jets. In fact, some of them flew some of the Democratic officials to the last convention, and not that they like any of those officials, but that's their job. And they brought up to me that the reason they reached out is because they had just experienced, each of them, emergency alarms go off on their jets, forcing them to descend from above 40,000 feet to far below because the temperatures outside were 35 degrees above where they should be. Air was not dense enough to hold that aircraft. These people are absolutely alarmed. And for those quote-unquote pilots, whether they are or whether they aren't, whether their ideology blinds them and they're unwilling to see reality, and we have lots of cases of that, don't we, George? I mean, we live in a country where 47-story steel structure high-rise buildings can collapse in 7 seconds, the third building in World Trade Center, which I know you know of, and we're told it happened because some furniture was burning on the first floor. And anybody who could believe that would discount what they see with their own eyes happening above us. So
sell them some swampland, would you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're really living in an Orwellian era. But don't you find it interesting, George, that with all the environmentalist groups, Bill McKibben, 350.org, and NRDC, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, that none of them are willing to address the climate engineering? Don't you find that unimaginably hypocritical?
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange. Let's talk a little bit about Antarctica.
But, I mean, on that issue, do you find it strange that, I'll go there, but that none of these environmental groups are willing to talk about this issue?
I don't know if they're afraid or why.
They're afraid of their 501c3s. They're afraid of losing their nonprofits. So I'll go on to Antarctica now. I just want to make this statement that, you know, as a person who is very environmentally minded, I'm unimaginably disappointed and feel betrayed by these quote-unquote environmental groups that claim to care about the environment, all of whom are ignoring the single greatest environmental threat of all. The floor is yours, George.
And it's there. All they have to do is test it.
That's all.
That simple. Okay, Antarctica. They're talking about all kinds of strange things down there, Dane, that maybe a huge asteroid struck down there. Who knows what, but what do you hear? What's going on there?
If you're speaking about the evacuations, there's an ice shelf that's collapsing. There's two ice shelves collapsing. One is Larsen B, and one is on the other side of the peninsula where there's a British research station that is being evacuated because the whole ice shelf is cracking apart.
Because of temperature change?
Yes. You have thermal expansion happening, and once these mechanisms start to accelerate, the equation becomes very nonlinear. So right now we have a crack on Larsen B shelf that's about 110 or 120 miles long. It looks like something out of the Day After Tomorrow movie, George. You've seen that.
That
correct?
Big split, yeah.
Exactly. Looks just like that. So we're talking about, by some reports, a piece of ice that may be as much as 6,500 square kilometers. This is uncharted territory for a nice piece of ice that big to break off the shelf. It could happen any time. Certainly will happen very soon. And it's not just the ice breaking off that's critical. It's the fact that that ice shelf is what helps hold the land-based ice back. Once that cleat is gone, the land-based ice begins to slide into the water quite rapidly. And we're seeing this, and those that don't believe that ice is melting, the oceans are rising, I'm just asking them to do some real research. Miami's pumping out every high tide. Have you seen any of the data from Miami?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen the data.
If your listeners look at that, Miami just spent $500 million, just to try to pump out a few neighborhoods.
Wow.
This is happening right now. So
just to keep their shorelines intact.
Exactly. So I'm just asking people again to look at this. This is not advocating for Al Gore or carbon credits. I've said three times already. I'm just trying to get people to look at reality and understand one of the primary goals of climate engineering is to keep the population confused and divided as to the true severity of the damage until the last possible moment.
The conspiracy theorists talk about the Nazis are still there, that there could be an underwater city, that there could be UFOs. I mean, there's all kinds of things coming about that place.
Don't know anything about that, but I do know that, again, the evacuations that we're talking about now is a British research team that's on an ice shelf that's breaking apart, and they feel that ice shelf won't last the winter, so I believe 70 or 80 of them are being evacuated right now.
Are they in trouble?
I don't think they're in any mortal danger yet, but if you look at drone footage of the size of this fissure, it's immense. Certainly that ice shelf is going to break off. Once that happens, it would be very precarious to try to rescue this team and their equipment. So they're simply pulling them off now. And when we have, if I could, I'll back up a hair on the New Zealand issue, just to add a little credence or to the Japanese quake, actually. This is right from MIT. I just want to read this for your listeners. This is from MIT's Technology Review. Quote, infrared emissions directly above the epicenter increased dramatically in the days before the devastating earthquake in Japan, said scientists. And they are very puzzled over the reports of strange atmospheric phenomena in the days before the quake. Now, this is right from MIT. George, do you remember the French foreign minister that said 500 days till climate chaos while he was standing next to John Kerry?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're past 500 days, but again, Kerry comes into the picture. He was in New Zealand before the quake and left right prior to. Just asking people to consider and understand the degree to which the climate has been manipulated for 70-plus years right in front of our faces, and we have the Senate documents to prove this, George. We have a 750-page Senate document any of your listeners can look at. If they simply search geoengineering massive Senate document, they'll find our post, important sections highlighted, very easy to go through. That document specifically states that normally adversarial countries, i.e. Russia, China, U.S., it doesn't name the countries, but it simply states normally adversarial countries, there are many others involved as well, will cooperate with the global weather modification climate engineering programs because of cross-border ramifications. So we have collusion and cooperation between all the major competing powers on this issue for their own reasons.
Why do you think then Secretary of State John Kerry went to Antarctica? I mean, what's there for him to look at?
Well, there's a massive microwave transmitter there. We know that. In fact, we posted on this exact issue on the New Zealand quake, and we posted NASA satellite data imagery that shows the radio frequency transmission signature coming from the Antarctic region where this transmitter is located at the approximate time of the quake. So people can connect the dots on their own. And I would challenge them to, if this certainly challenges all of our beliefs as far as what's possible. But George, if we went back 100 years and said you could talk on a box to anybody anywhere in the world, would anybody believe that? And yet we know that's true. When you split an atom, what happens? Who would have believed that 100 or 150 years ago? These technologies exist, and they're unimaginably destructive to the planet. It's tearing holes in the ozone layer. They're heating the ionosphere. There's no rein on what they're doing. And if the population doesn't wake up and help us expose and stop this insanity, and Earth's life support systems are damaged beyond the point of any return, where does that leave us?
Dane, when do you think all this started, and how did they concoct it?
Well, it's not about what I think. It's about what the data says. And again, the data makes clear that these programs were first deployed at scale in about 1945. Historical documents back that up. And George, you remember probably that by 1975 in that region, you had some discussion of why wasn't the planet warming and perhaps an ice age was coming on. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we look at global temperature rise, was almost going straight up in about 1945, and suddenly, without any apparent reason, it leveled off. And the climate scientists did not understand what could be happening. They didn't know that climate engineering had been deployed over the polar regions first. It did have an effect, and the negative consequences had not kicked in. So by 1975, when they didn't understand why the planet had statistically leveled off in the heating, then you had that kind of discussion occurring. So when people refer to events like that without going back earlier to find out what was really happening, and they make all sorts of speculative statements about is it cooling, is it warming, what happened, the warming has been continuous with the exception of what's been hidden temporarily, toxically, by climate engineering. And the negative effects from climate engineering now far outweigh any perceived benefits from these programs. It's simply a way to mask the severity of what's unfolding until the last possible moment. So what happened when the planet started to warm again? Because there was the buildup of greenhouse gases continuing to occur, the geoengineers doubled down. And the warmer it gets, the more they double down. And this is simply like trying to put out a fire with buckets of gas, George. So it's the same approach in the medical industry, right? Don't we see that?
We see it all the time.
Same approach. Just take more pharmaceuticals. If the ones you're taking aren't working, you need to take more. And that's, and now we're talking about on a planetary scale. So 1945 is when the programs appeared to have been deployed in earnest, and it shows up immediately on global temperature records.
How did you get involved with this, Dane?
Never wanted this battle. I'm not political. I state that often. And I've never been any sort of an activist. But when I built my home in the Pacific Northwest expecting to find clean air, a fully off-grid home, I'm on wind, solar, and hydro. And when I began to lose massive amounts of my solar power uptake, that's my background with backup power, from whatever these aircraft were emitting with not a natural cloud in the sky, that is not condensation. It's impossible. And when I began to research and found the mountains of data on climate engineering, geoengineering, began to test my rain, my precipitation, finding the same elements in the rain that were listed in the patents, climbing steadily with every precipitation event, the more they sprayed, the more visible, the more power I lost, the more aluminum that showed up in my rain, and I couldn't look the other way once I knew.
Would you say most big cities in the United States are the victims of being sprayed?
As in being focused on, if
yeah.
you will? No, I wouldn't say that. Now,
although, so just targeted key areas or what?
Although with this caveat, because some of the temperature readings are taken from those larger urban areas, there may be some focus to try to lower those temperatures for afternoon highs, if you will, in order to try to mask some of the severity of the warming that's occurring. And in regard to the warming, we've just passed, I believe, the 380th consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. I know everybody's divided on this issue because we all know that there's people making money off climate change.
Right? Oh, yeah.
We know that, right?
Absolutely.
So what I would ask people to consider is people make money off of wars, right, George? Both sides.
Just a little bit.
They make money, the same people make money off both sides of the conflict. But does that mean the wars didn't happen? Does that mean people didn't die? No. The wars happened and people died, and the same is true here. Yes, we have disaster capitalists making money off of what's happening with the climate, but that doesn't mean the damage is not real. That doesn't mean the danger is not real. So Monsanto can make all the aluminum-resistant seeds they want, all the UV-resistant seeds they want, all the drought-resistant seeds they want. When the ship goes down, it won't matter, will it?
Has anybody filed suit against any organization or entity claiming that they got sick because of this?
There are a number of claims. The legal team that works directly with geoengineeringwatch.org has filed in Canada in March of 2016. We filed a 60-day notice of intent to file a lawsuit already in the U.S. Our legal team has, but we have not filed the actual complaint yet because we're still tightening it up, making sure it's completely bulletproof. But this is interesting, George. Within about 3 hours of our legal team filing a 60-day notice of pending lawsuit, I heard from the head of the National Academy of Sciences, Marcia McNutt, within 3 hours. They're certainly watching everything we're doing. They're obviously going to do everything they can to keep this issue from coming to light, because what would you do, George, or people that you know, if this comes to light and in a way that the masses truly wake up and they realize the experiment they've been exposed to, permanently damaging their health, their environment, their atmosphere, their planet, was done without their knowledge or consent, how do you think they're going to react?
They're not going to be too happy about it, Dane.
Pitchforks and torches.
And some legalese, too.
Yeah. We'll see what they do.
I want to talk about HAARP for a moment, and then we'll start taking calls at the half here. And we're going to keep you next hour for some more phone calls. Is that okay?
Good to go.
HAARP. Of course, Nick Begich has been a genius when it comes to that. But what do you think is going on there in Alaska?
Well, George, you remember about 2 years ago, there was a lot of publicity that they were going to close HARP down, and that proved the quote-unquote conspiracy
yep,
theory.
Yep, and defund it. That's right.
That's what they claimed. Did that happen? No.
Nope.
And at geoengineeringwatch.org, we held from day one to the conclusion that this was nothing but a red herring, nothing but a ploy. It's exactly what it was. Now HARP has not only been continuously funded, but it's been retrofitted, upgraded with some improvements. They're not about to shut that down. And right now, with the severity of climate unraveling that we're seeing, and these headlines that we've seen in recent weeks and months will continue to escalate in severity. We have a climate system that's coming apart. We have a power structure that's unimaginably desperate. And George, as some of your show alluded to before we got in the air with the climate engineering, the push for World War III, that's the final card the power structure has to play when they have no other options, when the planetary implosion manifests to the degree that the economic escalations, which your show also talked about, the 21,000 record mark, they can artificially inflate the stock market all they want. When the biosphere implodes, that's the end of the line. Nature has historically provided 75% of all global GDP for free, no longer. You can't artificially inflate an economy without an environment that produces, and that environment is now collapsing on every front. So what's the final card they have left to play? Global conflict.
And you think that's going to happen for sure?
I think that they will do everything they can to make it happen. If it doesn't happen, it's because enough people wake up, enough of our brothers and sisters in the military understand that this is a road. The road we're on, mathematically, leads to certain near-term global omnicide. It's a mathematical fact. We're in the sixth great mass extinction now. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day to extinction. Two-thirds of all life forms that existed on the planet before the dawn of civilization are expected to be extinct by 2020. We're there. It's not off on the horizon somewhere. It's here. Now, and the only reason shelves in the U.S. are stocked up, George, and your listeners can look this up as well, the U.S. is importing tens of billions of dollars worth of food from abroad, tens of billions of dollars, to keep our shelves stocked, to keep the populations pacified until the last possible moment.
These are scary times if these things happen, Dane.
Only asking people to investigate, not asking to believe me.
Yeah, but you believe it.
No, it's not a matter of what I believe. I'm simply looking at statistical data from credible frontline sources, and I'm asking people to use their sense of reason and do some real investigation and not think just because McDonald's is selling Big Macs and Walmart's open that everything's fine.
Why don't they stop?
Well, if they were to stop, I'm not blaming everything on climate engineering. Understand that there's countless sources of anthropogenic damage to the planet, George. We've cut down or destroyed over 3 trillion trees. Colorado right now just published statistics. Nearly a billion trees dead in Colorado, but we've lost 3.4 trillion trees since the dawn of civilization. So we've cut down the trees, we've paved the planet, we've poisoned the oceans, we've done a lot of damage. We've not been good stewards. But in regard to climate engineering, they're not about to let go out of that weapon of power. It's an addiction, is it not, George? Power?
Absolute power corrupts.
That's exactly right. And so do we see a drug addict willing to stop because he knows he's harming himself?
Probably not.
No, we don't. So it's up to us. Again, I think the best chance we have, George, is to, if we work together, share credible, verifiable frontline data with others, reach critical mass of awareness, wake up our military brothers and sisters.
We're going to open up the phone lines for a couple reasons early with Dane Wigington. One, perhaps you've been a witness to some of this. Maybe things are going on in your community. You want to share those stories or just plain questions. Dane's website, geoengineeringwatch.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Dane, I hope you get some kind of meritorious award for the work you do for this.
The only award I want is to see this insanity in our skies stop. That's the only reward I want, George.
And do you think it will stop?
Well, one way or the other, it's going to stop. There's no question about that. But if we don't stop it soon, there'll be nothing left to salvage. That's what's important for people to understand. Once you've gone over through the guardrail and you're free-flowing through the canyon, it doesn't matter if you put on the brakes at that point, does it?
Calls are next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Dane Wigington with us. We're going to take calls this half hour and all of next hour for you here on Coast to Coast as we talk about geoengineering and what you have heard. But share your stories with us, what might be happening in your community. How many jets do you think are involved, Dane, at any given time with the chemtrail sprays?
If we simply look at the equation mathematically, David Keith, again, the world's most recognized geoengineer, stating a goal of 20 million tons annually. That would equate to perhaps 600 to 800 tankers, military tankers, dispersing 60 to 70 tons per day, 24/7, 365 days a year. Now, we know we have a different equation than that because we have commercial aircraft involved as well. We're not implicating commercial pilots, not implicating commercial personnel. These systems are automated. But we know that their planes are being used because, again, we have photographs of the nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed into the engine exhaust, and we have flight tracker from the ground. We can monitor these planes. We have them on film, spraying, turning on and off, so they're being used also. So we're talking about an unimaginable amount of materials, George. This is a climate engineering Manhattan project.
The tic-tac-toe patterns that we see in the sky, what are they?
Many people see the X's and other grid-type patterns, and we can speculate on some of that, but it appears, at least in the case of some of the X's that appear, that may be a way for them to more easily track the movement of air currents from satellite imagery. So, again, we can speculate about that, but the fact that these are not condensation trails, they're particulate trails, it's indisputable if we look at all the data, testing, film footage, photographs of nozzles, patents, government documents, et cetera, et cetera. This is absolutely going on.
Who's paying for this? The taxpayer?
No. I think if we know about the financial system, George, we know that the central bankers can and do print whatever they want. So when the Pentagon is missing officially $8.5 trillion since the late 90s.
They can't find it.
How do you lose that much?
Yeah, really.
So the bottom line is, so long as we have the petrodollar, the dollar is the global reserve currency, which is why I think we can safely say that Saudi Arabia was not on the list of travel bans, because if they stopped using the petrodollar, that would be the end of the road for the empire. So we have a very complex scenario, but the central bankers, the petrodollar, the dollar being the global reserve currency, that's what's allowed the U.S. empire to expand to the level it has. And this is something people need to understand and realize, that that the 100 or 700 and something bases abroad that in the 150 plus countries, this is not about freedom and democracy. It's about resources.
Dang, there's a blizzard warning in Hawaii. What the heck is happening?
Well, at the same time, though, we have staggeringly warm temperatures at both poles. Let's plug that into the equation.
Yeah. So
they can chemically nucleate snow over the pyramids, over Hawaii, in Dubai, anywhere to make the headlines they want. But what you don't see, George, is the last two Christmases in a row, at Christmas Day, we had 40 degrees and rain at the North Pole. Right now, we have record warm temperatures North and South Pole. We just had all-time record high set in Antarctica yesterday of nearly 70 degrees, 65 degrees in Antarctica. We don't hear about that. That's about 80 degrees above normal, 80 degrees above normal. So I encourage people to simply, again, not believe me, look at the bigger picture, look past the spun baited headlines that are designed to confuse them and divide them as to the true state of the climate. That's what climate engineering is for. That's one of the primary objectives.
Let's take some calls, as promised. Let's go east of the Rockies in Georgia. Gary is with us on Coast to Coast. Gary, welcome to the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
First time through, sir. I've called many times. I listen every chance I get.
Well, thank you.
I'm a police officer. I'm on duty, but I've been taking notes. This is important. 40 minutes before you mentioned it, I wrote down seed germination. I have been a gardener all my life. I have seen up to a 70% decrease in germination in certain seeds, and I attribute that to these metal particles that are affecting the microbes in the soil. The second point that I wanted to make, and I've heard this brought up, and I've heard George bring it up, that aggression, what's happening with aggression? We are collecting these particles in our bodies, and we are exposed to all these electromagnetic fields from everything, from our cell phones, from power lines, from office equipment, And I attribute, if you will consider that the people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, how some of these people, they could be a minister for 50 years and then they turn into a vile stuff, profaning individual. When this strikes them, it affects those centers in their brain that causes them to have this hostility. I believe that these particles are responsible for some of the aggression, and I am a police officer, have been since 94.
And thank you for serving, by the way, there.
Oh, I appreciate it. I believe that this can be attributed to some of the road rage and aggression that was not before. Like I said, since 94, this thing has increased exponentially. Since I'm on duty, I will make one more comment, then I will listen to your answer off the air.
All right.
The Holy Bible says that in the end time, you will neither be able to sow nor reap. This goes to this germination problem that I have personally seen. And there was another point. Let me see what it was. And it also says that there'll be brother against brother and all of this about the aggression. And it also says that you will not be able to tell one season from another. It's been close to 80 degrees here in North Georgia.
Oh, it's crazy. Dead of winter.
In the dead of winter. And I don't talk about, I'm not telling you just one day. I mean, the month of February, I have seen temperatures around 80 degrees, and we should be having daytime highs in the upper 40s to the lower 50s, nighttime lows in the mid-20s to the low 30s, and this is not happening. This, like I said, this is the first opportunity I have got to speak with George.
Well, I'm glad you got through, Gary, finally.
I've called 1,000 times, but I got through.
All right. We're going to get some answers here for you, and you be safe out there. Dane, let's talk about his thoughts about the germination issue of his seeds.
First of all, Gary's exactly right. And we know because we have peer-reviewed study on the effect of bioavailable metals, specifically aluminum, on root systems. It causes organisms to shut down nutrient uptake to protect their DNA. So that's on top of killing soil microbes. George, you know what happens when you take an antibiotic in the body? You can be susceptible to fungal infection in the body because you're killing your beneficial microbes, correct?
That's right.
Same thing's happening in the environment. So we have rampant fungal explosion everywhere. We have beneficial microbes being systematically killed off by these bioavailable metals. We know the effect of the metals on the root system, so we see trees and forests dying slow, protracted deaths. In addition to being exposed to the extensive UV, disrupted hydrological cycle, and so forth, we have soils virtually being sterilized. That's why we have Monsanto, again, creating genetically modified abiotic stress-resistant seeds, disaster capitalists. We spoke about that earlier. In regard to people's behavior, we have manganese in the mix as well. There's peer-reviewed study on the effect of manganese in the human organism, and it does cause many of the symptoms that Gary described. We are an electrical organism. Life is electrical. When you disrupt those frequencies with these massive microwave transmissions, you're going to disrupt those organisms. So we have a literal toxic soup happening in our environment. We're all swimming in it. We're bound to see these sorts of effects. In regards to the temperatures, again, Gary's right. Again, we have the warmest February ever recorded in countless places around the globe. And I can't stress enough the non-linear nature of what's unfolding right now. It's unfolding in the geologic blink of an eye. And those who don't believe this, you will soon. This is unfolding at unimaginable speed.
What does the barium do once it hits us?
Barium has immune-disrupting effects. It can cause heart palpitations, a lot of other effects. I was in the forest with seven other forestry workers that were we were doing habitat restoration during a chemically ice-nucleated event. In the course of 15 minutes, all of us developed nosebleeds. So
that's weird.
We have this happening in many places, and we can't know in any given circumstance or dispersion exactly what was in the mix. But this is an experiment that's in a state of flux. They have no concern for the consequences whatsoever. How many times have we seen that? George, you know, people ask this question all the time. Again, why would, quote, they do this to themselves? And I stress that same answer. Not only are we dealing with a power addiction, how many examples do we need of them doing this to themselves? We have a triple meltdown in Fukushima. No technology to fix it. No end in sight. We're building 60 more new plants right now. We've detonated 2,000-plus nuclear weapons. That's caused permanent damage to the ozone layer, which, by the way, whenever you want to, I just got data from a 40-year veteran of NASA, aeronautics engineer that's working directly with geoengineeringwatch.org. His UV data we posted yesterday. It's beyond alarming, he predicts, and the current pace will have a total collapse of the ozone layer by 2025. It's already horrifically bad now.
Mm.
By 2025, on this current course, will be total collapse. No ozone layer.
Well, that happens. Skin cancers will go through the roof.
It's already, today, already with current metering, we're seeing UVB levels 1,000% higher than we're being told, 10 times higher. We're seeing UVC on the surface. As you listeners understand the scale, you have UVA, UVB, UVC, then X-ray. We're told UVC stops 100,000 feet up in the atmosphere, no longer. So we're seeing what amounts to a hole in the ozone over the northern hemisphere. Canadian scientists have been fired on the ozone team. Governments in Australia firing their ozone research people as well. They're simply trying to hide reality as long as possible. And as I stated earlier, you have right now illegal federal gag orders on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees.
And if you don't get on this half hour, we've got a full hour to go with Dane Wigington as we talk about geoengineering, so not to worry. Patty in Seattle, welcome to the show. Hi, Patty.
Hi, George. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Dane. I've been a follower of your website, geoengineeringwatch.org, for a very long time. And I wanted to tell you that I saw my first chemtrail. I know not to call them that anymore, but in 1996 in Oregon, and from, it was so astonishing when I first saw it was two of them that went straight up into the sky, and from that moment on, I started documenting them, and by now I've taken thousands upon thousands of pictures of chemtrails and various anomalies. I don't bother taking pictures unless they're very unusual, but what I wanted to tell you is just night before last, it snowed in Seattle, caused quite a traffic snarl up. I went outside and looked at my thermometer, and it was 43 and 44 degrees. And so I held the thermometer out in front of the camera and took a picture of it snowing. And not only that, it was sticking. And that was no snow I've ever seen before. Would you like to tell people about that?
Thank you, Patty, for bringing that up. Again, we're back to a patent called Chemical Ice Nucleation for Weather Modification. And I would challenge listeners anywhere, when they get the radical weather whiplash swings from record highs to snow, monitor the temperatures at which the snow first begins to fall. So we have the paid disinformation people at organizations like the Weather Channel, that's owned by the power structure, Bain Capital and Blackstone in case of Weather Channel. Monsanto owns some of the weather disseminating agencies. Rothschilds own others, so they have to control the message. So they're trying to explain to the population why it's snowing at these extraordinarily warm temperatures. So, in effect, they're simply a part of the crime at this point, are they not, when they're helping to hide the crimes? So, your listeners should look at the temperatures at which the snow first begins to fall. The chemical ice nucleation creates a dense cold layer that settles to the surface, so the temperatures eventually come down further and further as the ice nucleation event goes on. We're getting reports of snow falling at temperatures as high as 56 degrees, and the patents state that they can create chemically nucleated material as high as 50-plus degrees, so this all matches. Again, we have the Chinese government openly admitting they were chemically nucleating snowstorms. Any of your listeners can look this up. Fox News, Popular Science covered it. This is what people need to understand. These cool downs are chemically nucleated. They're completely engineered, and it's an attempt to hide the severity of warming that's occurring, confuse and divide the population until the last possible moment, at which time everything implodes at once. So people need to wake up. We need to beat them to the intersection and expose this issue before they're ready. Thank you for bringing that point up, Patty. Extremely important. Should not be snowing at temperatures above 32 in almost all cases, certainly nowhere near the temperatures we see. This is a chemically nucleated engineered event.
Yesterday they had golf ball size hail in the Midwest, Dane, that you can imagine how that hurts falling from above.
Extremely dangerous.
My gosh.
Let's elaborate on the ice balls. In fact, not just hail, which, again, the nucleation process is starting earlier. That's why you're having the huge hailstones. Your listeners can also look this subject up. This look up ice balls, Lake Michigan. So in the last 5-6 years, we've had 75-pound ice balls showing up in Lake Michigan, perfectly spherical ice balls with lake water of 40 degrees. How does that happen? Because they're chemically nucleating. and it causes that phenomenon. And that's what they're doing over the poles, George. That's what's statistically keeping the ice pack from imploding right now, is massive chemical nucleation. We have NASA images, astounding images that we'll post soon that show the chemical nucleation occurring. We have other NASA images that show inarguable climate engineering and radio frequency signature on that climate engineering. If people would simply look at the data at Geoengineering Watch, they would be shocked. But Patty, again, thank you for bringing this up. Extremely important primary aspect of climate engineering is engineering winter out of warmth.
All right, let's take another call. Let's go to Brian in Topeka, Kansas. Brian, it is your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. Very nice to meet you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I listen to your music and your program quite often.
Thank you.
And just as much as I get out there, look at the little lines being processed across the skies here in the plains, and they go from point A to point B, and they cross on the X, and then the cloud, then the sky turns black or dark. But the hail and the problems we're having here are really not that severe. It's just the fact that, well, it does affect my lungs. I think I like to camp out. It's amazing to me. I don't know if it's cause they're doing that because they could say there's sun flares and they're trying to save us from them or whatever. But I wonder what Bigfoot or some of the Sasquatch thinks about it, especially with all these bad fires we've had out in the forest. I wonder if they've reached Alaska where they've got that machinery set up and had Sasquatch come up that way so they'd be safer than them catching on fire.
Well, I certainly don't know about that particular life form, Brian, but on the fires, let me elaborate on that. So we have the environmentalist community trying to blame the massive increase in forest fires exclusively on anthropogenic sources of CO2, and this is not accurate. In the case of fires, we can hang most of that around the neck of climate engineering. Why? Because we have the bioavailable metals we spoke about earlier contaminating root systems, causing the trees to die. We have unimaginably intense UV radiation frying the trees from the top down. We have a completely disrupted hydrological cycle, so we have this drought deluge phenomenon happening. We have more dry lightning because we have an atmosphere full of particulates creating the sort of drought conditions I mentioned earlier. And we have more dry lightning because the atmosphere is more electrically conductive. And finally, we have foliage being coated with an incendiary dust that causes the trees to be more flammable. So the burn down of the forest, and we're talking about in Siberia up to 100 million acres of forest a year burning to the ground. And when that happens, it puts soot in the air, puts CO2 in the air, the soot settles on ice in the Arctic, causing it to melt faster. So many roads lead back to climate engineering. Climate engineering is not mitigation for a warming planet. It is making a bad situation worse still.
Dane, when we come back at the top of the hour, we're going to take a final hour of phone calls. I also want to ask you about studies about whether animals have been affected by some of these heavy metals that seem to fall down. They seem to be outside all the time. What is happening to our pets, our cats, our dogs that are outside as well? We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And yes, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Do follow us on Twitter. We sent out a few little tweets tonight, as a matter of fact.